Everyone all right today? You're feeling good? Turn to the person next to you and say, if I catch you falling asleep in the next hour, I'm going to lay hands on you, but not in a Holy Spirit way. Okay, go on, turn to the person next to you and say that. Go on. That's it. Ready? Whoa. Move this out of the way. Can we use this one instead, James? Is this okay? Brilliant. Wow. I love it. A few weeks ago, Pastor Edwin rang me up and said, Jim, can you speak on the 5th? Now, he didn't realize this. 8 years ago, tomorrow, I started working for Silverdale Elam Church. Scenes are gone. Some of you go, oh, I'm not that long. I still look like I'm 18. I know that still. even though I'm reaching the big 30 this year. Can you believe that? Whoa, scary. And I said to him, I said, Pastor Edwin, I said, what do you want me to talk on? And he said, what I want you to talk on is the American Independence Day and how it links into the Bible. So you guys are ready for this exciting message today about that. But no, he said to me, Jim, he said, preach a message. If you had one message to preach, what would it be? So I went away and I've got three messages that are deep in my heart that I want every Christian to know. And I've practiced them really well, so I know where the wow moments are. I know where the Greek and the Hebrew words are. It was going to be amazing. And I'm walking my dog on Monday morning, and God drops a word into my heart. Get the PowerPoint up, Sam. This is a word that God dropped into my heart. Aslan is on the move. Let's say it together. Aslan is on the move. Now, this is really important, okay? Because all the other stuff that's been said today, it links in to what God has laid on my heart in the last week. So if you don't listen to any other sermon the rest of the year, okay, do listen to them. They're all good. Pastor Edwin's good. But I really believe wholeheartedly that God wants to talk to you today. I really believe completely, okay? So take note today, and we're going to pray as I say that. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here today. Holy Spirit, we pray that you come into us right now, Lord. Lord, that you, as I speak, Lord, if there's any words that are not of you, I pray right now you would close our ears to them, Lord. But Lord, you'd open our ears to everything that you have to say today. Let today, Lord, be a day when we connect with you in a new way and we step up a level in our relationship. We pray that in your precious name. Amen. Now, this expression, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, I've used it in the past. Aslan is on the move. Now, I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan. I love reading all C.S. Lewis's adult books, his kids' books. And many of you all know of what Aslan means. Some of you who don't, I'll explain in a minute. But I thought it's interesting because this word got popped in my mind on Monday. I was looking at Twitter and Facebook yesterday, and two other ministers mentioned this, not knowing what I'm speaking on. Mike Pilavachi's very high-priced speaker. When I'm put, he's in Wales at the moment. And he said, God's Holy Spirit moved so powerfully last night. He said, Aslan is on the move. And I really feel this is a word for you guys today. Now, for those of you who don't know who Aslan is, this quote comes from his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it says this. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he's already landed, said Beaver. Now, a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside. Peter suddenly felt brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if something delicious, a smell or something delightful strain of music had floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize that it's the beginning of the holidays and the beginning of summer. I love that bit. Encourage you, go home, read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. However old you are, it's still amazing, still fantastic. But in this story, what was happening is the children were running away, and Mr. Beaver were running away from the witch. This white witch had taken over the country of Narnia. It was in a horrible situation. There was no hope. It was an eternal winter. They would look around and say, what's happening? There was nothing good happening. Looking in despair. And in the midst of this despair, when they're running, Mr. Beaver says this. He says, Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. And this suddenly changed the situation. And I believe at the moment that God is about to do something in our generation in Great Britain that we've never seen before. I mean, we're starting to see it in Burslem at the moment, and I'll share some stuff with you about what God is starting to do. And it's incredible. Wherever I'm going, I'm hearing stories of people getting saved. Elam Ministers on Facebook, we have this group, and each week people are putting on. We've got 30 people saved this week. We have 2 people saved this week. We have 5 people saved this week. And God is about to do something. We get a bit more excited than that. Come on, we can go for it. And this is really, really important. Because Aslan is about to do something. In our country at the moment, in 2011, the Humanist Society did some research. And I know we can't always trust polls, because I know that polls ruined Val's day in May when the Conservatives won, and no one saw it happening. But we can't trust them, but actually they give us a good indication. Here we go. 53% of the population said that they were Christian. Okay, that's not too bad, is it? Out of that, 48% of those who said they were Christian said that they did not believe in Jesus, was alive, real, and they did not believe Jesus died and came back to life. Sort of knocks out of Christianity a bit, doesn't it? 63% of the population said they had not attended a place of worship in the last year. A place of worship could be a Christian, place of worship, a Muslim, a Hindu, any place of worship. 20% of the population have never, ever attended a worship service in a place of worship in their life. This is in our Christian country of Great Britain. Scary, isn't it? 9% of the population say they've attended a place of worship in the last week. It fills me a bit of dread. I'm losing a bit of hope here, okay? But I'm not here to depress you. Don't worry. 2014 YouGov poll showed that 77% of 16 to 24-year-olds say they have no religious belief at all and not even agnostic. They're completely atheist. That's scary, isn't it? Because basically we're holding on to the old folks, holding on to our faith. 2.5% of the population say they attend church on a Sunday. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Flick back one. I'll go back, actually. But Aslan is on the move. Aslan is going to do something. And I work with these statistics. I worked out roughly in Newcastle and Stoke-on-Trent, we have 350,000. I know it's something more complicated, little figure, but roughly that's how many people are in our area. If I was to take those figures and I was to be very, very optimistic and claim that not everyone goes to church on Sunday because we like to go every 2 or 3 weeks and I want to be over optimistic, we'd have about 17,500 people going to church on a Sunday in this area. And if I was to be really optimistic and say other people who maybe would go to church and wouldn't go to church, we have at least 300,000 people in this area who do not know Jesus. At least 300,000 people who do not know Jesus. If we believe what we believe in the Elam fundamental truths, that's 300,000 people that are going to burn in hell. How does that sound? This is a lovely sermon. You guys are feeling encouraged, aren't you? This is it. Tell you what, that's scary, isn't it? If you don't think about it like that. Hope I flick back. I think I've gone too far forward here. Here we go. Going the wrong way. Sam, can we start again for me? Cheers, mate. It's always the way. Here we go. Flick forward now, one more. There we go. At least 300,000 people. I don't know about you, but that scares me, living daylights out of me. But I believe Aslan's on the move. In the last 5 years, the Redeemed Christian Church has planted over 296 churches in the UK. At the moment, Elam is planting over 50 churches in the UK. Amen. That's good news. Let's give it a clap for that. Okay. We go back now. We go back in history. 1948. Bit of a history lesson for you. China had 1 million Christians. Currently, China has over 100 million Christians. And they are anticipating in 2030... there'll be 247 million Christians in China. One generation, some of you were alive then, some of you might have been in your 50s when that's our time, but Jesus, when everyone else thought China was going downhill and there was no hope for the church in China, God has turned it around.
We look at Nepal. No Christians were allowed in the country until 1960. Now there's over 500,000 Christians and a church in every one of their 75 districts. Give God a clap for that. He deserves it. Okay. In Africa, this is amazing. I did not know this fact until recently. 1900, 3% of Africa was Christian. Now over 50% of it is Christian. In the last 115 years, God has swept across millions and millions of people in Africa. Let's give him another clap. He needs to clap for this. Because we need to get a little bit excited. And the reason I'm saying this, we need to get excited. Because when I look at this, I say, you know what? Britain, we haven't lost hope yet. We may be worrying about 300,000 people who don't know Jesus yet, but look what God's been doing in the last 100 years. Well, we've been sleeping in England. God's been doing revival in the rest of the place. Korea, 1900. Not one Protestant church in the country. Now, South Korea has over 30% of South Koreans are born-again Christians and Pentecostals. Give God a clap for that. And you know what? I believe Aslan is on the move today. And I believe Aslan wants to do something. At the moment, it's Ramadan. So I hope none of you are fasting at the moment. You joke about it. Someone said the other day, they said to me, we do a lot of outreach to asylum seekers. And one lady, a Muslim lady who's has a job in the city, said, oh, Jim, it was amazing. I went down to the local Bengali mosque and I see a lot of your guys. And I went, please, Jesus, do not say they're not my Sunday attenders who say they're Christians who go to the mosque. But at the moment, there's an incredible move of God amongst the Muslim community across the whole world. David Garrison, type his name into Google. What's happening at the moment is we're seeing more Muslims come to Jesus than in any other time in the history of Islam being around. And it's incredible. And one stage, for the last however many years, we've been almost backpedaling against Islam. But at the moment, the momentum is changing and we're actually taking it from Islam. And it's incredible what's happening. I encourage you, pray for Muslims. I shared last Saturday. And Muslims at the moment, I'm supposed to be working with Christians in church, aren't I? I'm sitting in the Muslim houses, having teas and cups and coffee, and they're looking after me and really treating me nicely. And these people are saying, you know what, we're feeling God's presence in our lives. Jesus is appearing to us in dreams. This is in Stoke-on-Trent. They're saying in Islamabad or in Saudi Arabia somewhere. This is Stoke-on-Trent. And apparently during Ramadan, it is the most times that any Muslims will become Christians is during Ramadan. What do? They pray and they're fasting and they're seeking God. And Jesus says, if you seek me, I will answer. Yeah. And we may not believe in Allah, but God still believes in the Muslims, okay? And God still loves them. And God still says, when you seek me, I'm going to find you. And it's incredible. So the next 2 weeks, pray. Pray for Muslims every single day. Pray that they get dreams. Pray that God reveals stuff to them. Pray that they meet Christians. Because it's incredible what God is doing at the moment. Because Aslan is on the move. Let's say it together. Aslan is on the move. And we need to go. This is incredible. Jesus says, seek and you will find. And you know, I'm just a bit of an optimistic guy. I've gone into Burslem being like Tigger, like I was here at Silverdale. And I've just got this dream in my head. And I just said, God, I quite fancy it in 50 years' time to be preaching in Stoke-on-Trent. And in 50 years' time to say, you know what? One stage we only had about 20,000 Christians going to church. And I just want to stand up on a platform and say, in 50 years, there's at least 150,000 people going to church. Does anyone else want to see that happen? A few of you, that's good, that's good. A few of them want pastor, which is always a good start, a few at a time. Why? Because I believe God is on the move. And I believe so passionately that God is on the move. At the moment, we are addressing stuff at Burslem Elam Church. We're putting the foundation places into place now because we believe God is going to do something. We believe God is going to do it. And we're preparing now for the harvest of what God is going to do. I don't know how the United Reform are going to like it because I keep having to fill up the baptismal tank and they're worried about the water bill. So I'll let them worry about it. I let God deal with my problems. Come on, turn with me. Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's get into the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 18. And I'll encourage you, same way I encourage my church to do. It's always bring your Bible to church with you. The reason I say that is because a preacher could be telling a pack of lies you'd never notice if you didn't have your Bible with you to read it. But I promise today I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I'm not going to lie. This is what it says. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. Let me find it. Jesus told his disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you to the end of the age. You know, as Christians, we always talk about Jesus' two commands. We talk about love God with all your heart and love others as you love yourself. But I'd actually say Jesus has three important commands. Because this great commission, commission means the command, go and do it. And Jesus commands us to go out and share him with the world. He commands us to go and show him, to go and preach the good news to all the nations, to tell people about him. And I was just thinking about this the other day. How did I come to church? How did I become a Christian? I became a Christian because if I didn't go to church, my mother would give me that much earache and my mother would be twisting my ear and say, Jim, would you go to church? What's going on with you? And the easy way to appease my mum was just to go to church. So one day, I went to church and Jesus saved me. It's a pretty awesome story. Pretty great thing that happened. And I wonder, how did you come to church? How did you come? Just think for a moment. Did someone invite you? Or did you just walk off the street the first time? Because I tell you what, as a Christian, I find it scary visiting other churches. I don't know why, but I don't like going to other churches by myself because I don't know anyone. Imagine how you must feel if you don't know Jesus. Do you think people are always going to walk into church? Just come in. We need to think sometimes how we became Christians and act on it. That's off my notes, by the way. It's just something to go on. But as Jesus says here, he says we need to go out and get people. We need to go out and go fishing. And you know what? It's such a simple thing to do. Yet I'm sure if I ask you to put your hands up now, which I'm not going to do, many of you will find that the hardest thing to do is share your faith. When someone says, why do you go to church? How many of you go, oh, it's because it's quite nice. It's the hardest thing we can do. Paul, the greatest evangelist in the New Testament, I think, he in Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29, says this, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with the wisdom of God, with the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That is why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works in me. Can you get back to Sam? Cheers, mate. Depending on Christ's mighty power that is at work within me. You know what? Paul knew that sharing Jesus was hard. Paul knew that it was tough. So do you know what Paul did? Paul went to God and said, God, please can you give me the power to share Jesus? Do you know what? God knows it's tough to share about him. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was God on earth. And he was ridiculed and rejected for the message that he had to carry. Now, if God's going to be rejected, I'll tell you what. Sorry to tell you this. You're not better than God. You're going to get rejected at times as well. You're going to find it really tough. And Paul says this, that I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that is working within me. You see, if we want to successfully share Jesus like we're called to do, we need to depend on Jesus. We need to lean on Jesus. We can't make people Christians. We can just bring them to Jesus, and then Jesus connects them. We can't do it in our own strength. We need God's difference, God with us. And I just very quickly want to look in Acts and see what Jesus, how this worked out. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 4. This is what it says. It says here, In one of those meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, Jesus told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he has promised. Remember what I have told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Let's skip forward to verse 8. It says, "But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, many of you will know this passage. As Pentecostals, we like it, don't we? What Jesus says about sending the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says here, "I've given you the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can share the good news around. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can share it to the world around you." Jesus knew that evangelism wasn't easy. Jesus knew it was tough. Jesus knew that sharing him with other people wasn't going to be easy. That's why he says, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." You know, if we think that the Holy Spirit is just for our prayer meetings, if we think it's just for our church services so that we can feel good, we're wrong. There's so much more to the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. He's brilliant. He's done fantastic things in my life. But I've met so many Christians in the past who it's all about the fuzzy feeling going down their backs than it is about actually the Holy Spirit moving out of the church. And as Pentecostals, when we started, we were rejected by the mainstream church. We had to go out into the world to share Jesus, didn't we, and use the power of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't stay in the church. They kicked us out. They didn't like us. But what do we do now often? We bring the Holy Spirit straight back into the church. We bring him in our little box, and we say, "Holy Spirit, please move on our Sunday. Holy Spirit, please move on our prayer meetings. Holy Spirit, please move when I'm praying with my friends in the house." But Jesus says, "Yeah, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will move you out to spread my word all over the world." And for me, I think that deserves a clap, don't you, Val? It is. But you know, if we think about that, it's not right. Because the Holy Spirit is there to reveal Jesus. If you want to doubt it, read John chapter 16. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. You know, in our church at the moment, it's people who do not speak English who are just connecting with God. And I wish it was because of my wonderful, lax, brilliant voice and just preaching, and they just listen to me and I'm amazing. It's not because of that at all. I can't take the credit. They can't speak the same language as me. And when they can, I can't speak too quickly for them to understand me, so I don't know what's going on. But you know what? They're connecting with it because the Holy Spirit is coming into them during the worship time, or as they walk into the building, not just in the worship time, and he is showing them Jesus. Because that is what the Holy Spirit does. And it's incredible, because that's what he's there, to point people to Jesus. And it's interesting, because this is what happened. When they heard this, in verse 14, the disciples went away. They met together and were constantly united in prayer. If we want to see God move in our lives, if we want to see the Holy Spirit move and people come to Jesus, we need to be seeking God and we need to be praying. Someone else is happy there, I don't know. But we need to be. You had that word this morning, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, last year was an all right year in our church. It was an all right. We saw a couple of people become Christians. Sort of all right, yeah. People say, "How you doing? How's your church going?" And they're going, "We ain't really grown and we ain't really gone down. We're about the same." You know, it's just one of those years. And at the end of the year, God started giving up. Midway through the year, God gave us this word. It was, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, there's some moments someone says that, you know, because they've been listening to the CD in the car on the way in. So it's not really God. It's just them just listening to the CD. But it was about three people came completely independently with that word. We also had my Bible study that day, was talking about it. And God said to us, "Be still and know that I am God." You know what? As Pentecostals, we don't like being still. We like to shalabang and go for it and pray out really loud. And we love to go for it. But sometimes we need to be still and know that he is God and listen to him. Now, we did this. We spent a long time in some of our services Just being still. I remember I still had people wanting to clap and go for it. And I was like, no, just be still. And listen to God. And you know what? It was in February. Something just snapped in our atmosphere. We waited upon God. And we waited upon God. And we listened to God. We still prayed. We still evangelized. We still did all the things we're going to do. But we made room for God. Amen. And in our prayer meetings, we had times of long silence. And this week, we had the same thing on Tuesday. And it was like I could feel God. It's like I couldn't push against him. His presence was so tangible. And you know, and when we go out, when we seek the Holy Spirit, when we pray, when we ask for God's power to come upon us, when we're still and we say, God, come in, please do something in this empty vessel. Do you know what the amazing thing is? God does it. He's a real gentleman. He does what we ask him to do a lot of the time. Still praying for that Mercedes Benz, and no, I'm joking. But everything else he's done. And it's incredible what God can do when we wait upon him. Because this is what happened. If we flick forward to a lot of Bible today, hope you don't mind. Acts chapter 2, this is what it says. Suddenly there was a great sound from heaven, like a roaring mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting and praying. Then what looked like flames of tongues and fire appeared and settled on each of them. Everyone was present, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit had given them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. You see, when the disciples sat together and prayed, the Holy Spirit came on them in a mighty way. He came on them, and they went out, and 3,000 people became Christians. Don't know about you, but as a pastor, I'd have a nervous breakdown if 3,000 people became Christians in the center of Jerusalem. It's incredible what God did, isn't it? When they sought God, when they prayed, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, 3,000 people became Christians. This is awesome. You see, when we have the desire to share the good news and the gospel, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the faith to then step out, amen, that is when Aslan moves. That is when God starts to move. And that is when we start seeing amazing things happen. You know what? For God, Jesus told the disciples they were going to spread the good news from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the world. For the disciples, when they heard this, when they heard Jerusalem, they'd remember this is where Jesus was executed by an angry mob. Would you want to share Jesus there? They killed him. Next one. Judea. That's where they rejected Jesus' ministry. Samaria was regarded as a wasteland of impure half-breeds. The way that Vale fans feel about Stoke fans and Stoke fans feel about Vale fans. Ends of the earth. This is where the Gentiles were. Some of these Jews, of the Jews of the day, thought that the Gentiles were nothing better than fuel for the flames of hell. This isn't exactly the mission you want to get given, okay? But incredible, this is what happened during the book of Acts. It describes the gospel going into Jerusalem. Acts 8 to 12 speak about the gospel going into Judea and Samaria. Click the next one. Acts 13 to 28 says about the gospel going to the ends of the world. You know, when the disciples were told what they were going to do, they would have been like, oh my word, Jesus, are you having a joke? Are you being serious? Have you ever felt that before with God? These disciples would have been like that. But look what they achieved. Look what they did. They trusted in the power of God. They stepped out. And if we want to see Aslan move, we need to step out. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit on our side, we can achieve anything. We can do anything with the Holy Spirit with us. You know what? Too often we trust in ourselves. In February this year, I sat there and I was on my knees. Some stuff happened and I was God. I said, you know what? I'm sitting on the same size church as I started a year ago. I said, I know I've got to settle in. But I said, God, I can't grow this church by myself. And I was really on my knees, nearly crying and saying, God, I can't do this by myself. I said, the only person who can do something in this church is you, God. And here I am, use me. Do you know what? Since then, we have only had one Sunday without a non-Christian coming to our church services. One Sunday. And I had a guest preacher in, and I said, I'm really disappointed tonight. He goes, why? I said, there's no non-Christians for you to preach at. Because when you depend on God and trust on God and lean on God and not on yourself, that is when God starts to do things. That is when God starts to move. That is when it happens. We need to step out. But here's the thing. In Acts 1, verse 9 and 11, after Jesus told them about the Holy Spirit, Jesus went to heaven. It says this, after saying this, he was taken up to the clouds. While they were watching, they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way as you saw him go. You know what? We need to go. If we want to see God move in Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire, which I certainly do, because God's given me a heart for this area, then we've got to go. We can't just be blinking, staring at heaven for the rest of our days going, please, Jesus, could you make things happen? Please, Jesus. You know what? God just says, get off your backside and go and do it. I'm serious about this. It gets a bit frustrating with me. My biggest pet hate is people are sitting in prayer meetings, praying people into church, and they won't talk to anyone else. I went to one church. It wasn't here. Don't worry. But the lady would be coming at the front of church, and she'd be going, woo, I'm having these things that happen. I'm giving birth to things, and I didn't want to know about that sort of thing. But she would be telling me how God is going to do something new. She wouldn't say hello to me in the church. Yeah. Never once greet me. Actually, when I left the church, she was lovely to me. It was brilliant. Okay. But we need to not just talk about it and pray about it. We need to go and do it. We need to go. Do you know what? As Shirley shared a word earlier, I just thought God was like, yeah, this is Jim. You've got the right message today. That's why I'm getting a bit excited. And then I read what the pastor wrote. I know no one reads them. I write them for my church, and you never read the pastor's article, do we? Let's be honest. And it says, yeah, that everyone, yeah, you're laughing because you know it's true. I know the same thing for my guys. Someone once read it and I was really shocked. I thought, wow. But it says here, Pastor Edwin's written this for today. He says, go. We have plans and strategies as a church, and we always need people to go and serve and share their faith. But I want to encourage you to do this, to do something else as well this summer. Just pray for your street, your neighbors by name. Invite them to a barbecue and a meal or a tea. Start to connect with them where you are. God has placed you as a missionary on that street, whether you like it or not. This summer, just share his love. God has exciting and challenging days ahead, I believe. So listen, pray, equip, and go be part of the adventure. How was that for what I had prepared and what Pastor Edwin had written? How's that? Is that all right, yeah? Do you think God might be talking to you this morning? Does anyone think he might be? Turn to the person next to you and say, God's talking to me. You know what? I've changed. This is so serious. This is so serious, I believe, in my heart. I've taken this so seriously in the last 2 years. I now make it part of my life to spend time with non-Christians. When I was a young pastor, and people don't realize this about pastors, we have to deal with Christians all the time. Like, I like non-Christians. I don't really like Christians that much, if I'm honest with you. Please don't tell anyone I said that, okay? Apart from you guys, I love you guys all wonderfully. But I've made it part of my aim as a pastor that I devote just as much time, if not more time, to building up quality friendships with those who are not yet Christian than with those who are Christians. And I devote myself to this now because it's so important to me to share Jesus. You know what? Where God's put me, where we have two beautiful daughters, I'm now outnumbered completely in my household. But we're meeting so many friends who aren't Christians. And we've made so many really good friends. And we got one friend who turned around the other day and said, you and Naomi are so lovely. You know, you guys care like no one else has ever cared before. And you know, it's not, we're not doing anything special. We're just showing them the love of Jesus and being good people. I have so many non-Christians I'm spending time with at the moment who are starting to ask me questions. When I'm at work doing invigilating at Maggie Ward's, non-Christians are starting to ask me questions, which I think is brilliant. When I'm having conversations with Muslims and asking me questions about Jesus, and I'm going, fantastic, this is great. But I've decided that I want to be someone who just shines Jesus' light out wherever I go. And I know that I can't do it in my own strength. I know that I can only do it with God. So I'm going to be intentional about it. Paul was intentional when he went out and shared Jesus. Now, please don't do this. Please don't just do what some people do. They make friends with people, see them become Christians, and they dump them and move on to the next person. It's not that. But it's about building quality relationships and shining Jesus' light wherever you are. Whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an old folk in a nursing home, whatever you are, you can do it. You know what, Sophia, we encourage her in church, just invite her friends and get excited about church. I want my little girl to be the greatest evangelist there's ever been. And I'm going to encourage her in that. Because we need to teach our kids how they're going to go. But I know it's going to be tough. And I remember about 10 years ago, I wouldn't tell anyone about Jesus apart from Christians because I was too scared. And now I'm thinking time is running out for those who don't know Jesus. And if I don't share the word with them, then who's going to share it? I can't depend on it. And many of you will know when I was here, I talked about my sister who I'm praying for. My sister's not in church. My little niece came to church for Sophia's dedication and loved church. Her friend invited her to church. My niece, who's six, is going to church every single Sunday. My sister goes, brilliant, an hour off. I'm saying, brilliant, God's starting to work in her family. And it's amazing how God can do it. Prayers answered. And I just want to share four stories. Is that okay as I finish? Sorry, I know I'm talking for a long time. But Aslan's on the move, and we're going to go for it. Okay, these are just some stories to encourage you. I was speaking to someone the other day, actually two people from one country, and they're not allowed to share their faith in this country. It's illegal. If you share your faith, you're going to be put in prison or killed. Simple. It's a bit like England, isn't it? For those of you who are scared about sharing your faith, get a grip. I mean that in the nicest way. I'm very blunt, I'm sorry. But this person said to me and my brother were involved in a car crash from a Muslim family. Not a devout Muslim family, but a Muslim family. He'd been out drinking with his brother, then a car crash. Mother says, you've upset Allah, it's all your fault. The brother's eye was going to get removed on the Friday, it's the Monday, because the eye was so badly damaged. He's sitting in hospital, his mother said, this is Allah's punishment for you. He is fuming, he is punching the wall, going ballistic out on the hospital courtyard. And the nurse turns up, the nurse should never talk about Jesus, says to him, what's going on? He explains the situation. The nurse goes, I'm going to pray. The nurse prays. Comes to that Friday, brother's eye completely healed. Don't have to remove it. Another chap I'm meeting. Another country, Islamic country, banned from Christianity. He's sitting there in a workplace. Doctors can't do anything for his daughter. Christian comes into the workplace, chats to him. Christian says, I mustn't tell you about Jesus, but can we pray for your daughter? Pray for his daughter. Daughter completely healed. He becomes a Christian. This is crazy, isn't it? This is in a Muslim country. God can do the same in Stoke-on-Trent as he can do in other countries. You know that, don't you, by the way? These guys have suffered so much for their faith. Both of them had to leave the country because they became Christians. But they want to tell everyone about Jesus. The one lad's over the coffee table to me going, I want more of Jesus. And I felt like going, calm down. Then I went, hang on a minute. I want him to take this out into Stoke-on-Trent and get the rest of us excited. Another chap. Really depressed, sitting in the corner of his house, ready to die, commit suicide. Jesus appears to him in a vision, stands up, gives his heart to Jesus. Long story, he ends up in Stoke-on-Trent. And he comes in and he starts sharing Jesus recently. I said to him, you've got an evangelistic heart. And what happens is he lives in a block of flats in Hanley. They have a terrible nuisance neighbor. He gets his flat. He can't sleep for 2 months. He is despairing. So what does he do? He just goes and talks to his neighbors. He goes and manages to get this trouble neighbor thrown out. The other neighbors go, wow, this is incredible. What have you done this? He said, it's great. They said, how did you keep going? He says, well, you know what? I can depend on Jesus. And he does this. This is so complicated. This is so clever. This is crazy. Do you know what he says to them? He says to them, Jesus is really good. He changed my life. Do you fancy coming to church on Sunday? The blinking guys come to church. And his neighbors start walking in. Then he does the following week. He gets a bit more confident. A Muslim taxi driver's driving him. He says to him, you know what? You're right, mate. He says, Jesus is great. Do you fancy we got a meal at church next Sunday? Do you fancy coming along? It's great. The taxi driver says, yeah. Is anyone what you want me to pick up for church? So the taxi driver, who's a non-Christian, fills his car full and brings all the guys to church. And all he says is, he's now got a neighbor who he used to live with or live next door to. And he says to her, church is great, you should come along. She comes along, she starts crying. God touches her heart. He says, told you church was good. Now, if you talk to him, you say, my memory's not good, Pastor. And he cannot remember. He cannot tell you about sanctification and justification and cannot tell you about all these complicated words. What he can tell you about is Jesus touched his heart and he wants Jesus to touch everyone else's heart. Nearly there. A couple more. I just want to encourage you. Last year, Muslim boy, I get a phone call from this one guy I know. He's moved up to Leeds. He said, Pastor, he said, we've got a guy manifesting. He said, he's gone to the imam. The imam says, find someone with more power. So this pastor friend rings me up. Could you go and visit him, Jim? So I'm there going. I have my phone on speed dial. I was stupid. I fully acknowledge it. So I went by myself. I don't know why. And I go up to the third floor, and I'm thinking, if this is a jihadi guy, I'm in for it. So I put my phone on speed dial. I say, Naomi, if the phone rings, you ring the police, you get around to the house straight away because I can't jump out of a third-story window. So I'm there, and I pray for this guy. This guy is vomiting. This is quite dramatic. His brother's a Christian. By the way, his brother wouldn't tell him that I was a Christian. He told him I was a doctor because he was frightened what his brother would do. I wish he'd told me that before I started praying for him. I do this. This guy, the peace of God comes upon him so much. I'm starting to use, I'm a fail as a pastor. I can become an imam. I've learned a lot of Muslim technology, words to use. And I start to talk to him about the sort of spirits that he's talking about and what he thinks it is. And we pray, and God completely transformed him. I went back 3 days later, and God had touched him. You know what he does? I sit down, and I say to him, he's called Muhammad. They're all called Muhammad. And he turns around, and he goes this. And he says, I love Interbeast, I love Muslims. I was going to joke with him. And he goes, Pastor, he said, you're a good man. He said, you've helped me so much. He goes, this is incredible. I said, yeah, great. I'm thinking, I'm going for this now. He's going to become a Christian. Yeah, one up for Jesus. And he turns around and goes to me, Allah has sent you to me. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're getting closer. He goes, Allah wants you to go to Muslim heaven. He doesn't want you to be with the Christians anymore. And that's why I said, I was like, but Jesus healed you. And he was sat there for 3 hours trying to convert me to Islam. And you know what? Sometimes Jesus just works. Jesus loves. Jesus heals. And sometimes we don't see the answers to our prayers. And you know what? Sometimes we'll do everything right, but it doesn't work. Is that not going to stop me doing anything? I'm still praying for him. He's now in Birmingham. I'm still praying God's going to touch him. And this is crazy. I'm not just another chap. Then a lady, English lady, for once. And she comes to church last Sunday. And she goes, I met Jesus in my bedroom this week. He just appeared to me. I'm here in church now. Stoke-on-Trent woman. Jesus just appeared in. Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on. Let's say it together. Aslan is on the move. Let's say it again. Aslan is on the move. Now, the reason I'm telling you these stories, to be honest with you, most of them haven't got anything to do with me. It's all about God and what God is doing now. And you know what? We need to step out. We need to encourage. We need to get alongside people. We need to have bravery to encourage Jesus and to share Jesus. Because God is about to do something amazing. And I tell you this, if you're not on board, you will fall away from Christ so quickly because someone will nick your seat and you will get angry and you will never come back to church again. You know it's true. But we need to go for it. We need to get excited about Jesus. We need to be excited about sharing him because people are going to burn in hell, okay, if we don't do this. We need to get excited about the Holy Spirit. We need to move in the power of the Holy Spirit like we've never moved before. Can we stand together? Shad, can I get you to tinkle a little bit? Is that all right? Let's just pray. Let's just open ourselves. Let's just stand in God's presence right now. Let's just stand here. Aslan is moving. Now, if you know the story of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, you know that Santa turns up out of it. It's a bit bizarre, I know. But he gives them presents. And he gives each of those children some gifts. And he says to you, you're going to need those when Aslan turns up. You're going to need those to accomplish Aslan's mission. And God says today, I'm about to move. Aslan is on the move. God is on the move today. God wants to do something incredible across our whole country, not just in your church, but in your church too. God wants to move in us in power like he's never moved before. God wants to release new gifts in us like he's never released before. Those of us with spirits of fear and timidity, God says, I want to give you a spirit of boldness and courage. You know, we're not risking our lives in England when we share Jesus, but we're still scared. And God says, today I want you to step up. I want you to step up. I want you to go. I want you to be my disciples. I just feel it's right. And if no one comes up, no worries. But if you're here today and you know that you're a bit scared about sharing Jesus at times, I want you to come to the front. If you know you're a bit scared at times, and the reason I want you to come to the front, if you want God to use you, it's because it means you have to have boldness to come to the front. It takes a step of faith. If you're here today and you want a bit of courage to stand up for Jesus, can I ask you to come to the front now? Just encourage you. And we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit on you as well. Just want to encourage anyone else. There's more people, I can see it. You're just a bit scared. Forget about being scared. Be brave. Be brave today. Come forward. If the leaders could come forward and start praying, that would be great. Elders and pastors. If you're still standing there and you haven't had the courage yet, come on forward. Come on forward. Praying and say, God, who do you want me to share Jesus with this week? Pray that God gives you opportunity. Even if you fail, it doesn't matter. Just say, God, give me the opportunity. Put the person in my mind who you want me to share with this week. And let's just move out in power and strength this week.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Yeah.